Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Comeuppance Reviews podcast. This is the Brettster speaking.
Hey, time in. We're back with a special guest for No Subject Part 10, DTVC, Matt Poirier. How you doing, yeah, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back on. It's been a little while.
Well, I can't believe this is part 10 of this crazy series.
So many, you only have your imagination, you know?
Well, exactly.
How we got.
Just so people know, if this is their first time hearing it, Ty and Matt have come up with a bunch of ideas. I don't know what they are. This will be the first time for me hearing any of these ideas. And I guess I'll put in my two cents. But before we do that, just have a quick story, which I guess will tie into one of the ideas, which is not long ago, you know, Ty and I were at Goodwill. It was in Milford, Connecticut. And, you know, we were looking for movies, as we always do, because, you know, they have a lot of DVDs now. And then when we first got there, obviously what stood out is that Righteous Kill was there because, you know, it usually is. And we said, hey, look, it's Righteous Kill, you know, because that's,
like, ha, ha, ha.
right. But okay, so then we were searching around. Then this guy kind of showed up, and I guess he was like a middle-aged guy. Like, he wasn't young, but he wasn't old. And he kind of like picked up Righteous Kill, looked kind of quizzical, and then he talked into his phone, which I guess was Siri, and he said, Righteous Kill movie. Because that was like his command to his phone. And then, you know, Siri comes back saying, Righteous Kill is a 2008 movie starring, Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. And so basically he was voice searching Righteous Kill because he kind of looked like he had never seen it before and didn't, you know, type it into Google. So he basically asked Siri what Righteous Kill was. And and so Ty and I kind of looked at each other like, wow, this guy's got a lot to learn. But I just thought it was funny. It's like, there's Righteous Kill. And then a guy just shows up in the next less than a minute asking Siri what Righteous Kill actually is.
Isn't that a question we all know? What happened? It's Righteous Kill. Matt, thoughts?
Well, what I hope is that when he searched Righteous Kill, he found the podcast episode we did on your podcast about Righteous Kill, and that's his introduction to it, is us going through the movie.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I think I said at the time, like, what Siri should do is pull up our podcast, because if you want, like, the best, most honest, and, you know, most insightful breakdown of what that is, they should really be listening to us, you know?
Well, there's only three words to say, no, Stubby, no.
Right, that's, you know.
But that's a great jump-off point to our first idea.
Okay, what's your first idea?
Okay. Martin Baum, A Righteous Kill Story.
Right, this would be a TV show, like on Hulu or something.
Oh no, this will be. It's kind of like, you know, as Matt, I was talking to Matt before we recorded, is that Fast and Furious presents
Hobbs. Oh yes,
yeah. What is the new one? Furiosa, a Mad Max story, right?
Like, right, that, right. Okay, all right. I see where this is going. Okay,
yeah. So, this is Martin Baum, A Righteous Kill Story. So you get Alan Blumfeld, the actor, as Martin Baum. You get him back.
Right, only you guys would know that.
Well, I had to double-check that name.
Well, I mean, because you're the Martin Baum experts, that's why.
Yeah, as the Martin Baum expert, and a bomb expert myself, so.
Well, that's why we're talking about Righteous Kill, hey-o. Yeah.
So it would be his story, his life, his rules.
So it'd be kind of like Righteous Kill, but told from the Martin Baum perspective.
Yes, yeah, so you still see Donnie Wahlberg from far away. You still see John Lewis from far away. It's like the point of view of Martin Baum through Righteous Kill, the movie.
Well, it could even be it could even be like his origin story or something too, or like some sort of like his own adventure or something. It could with these sort of a whatever stories, I guess they go in all kinds of directions.
Right, okay. I mean, I can see this happening.
You can see it like on the shelf of like a Blockbuster, like right next to Righteous Kill. It's like,
but this one's made by like Two Left Shoes. Like, it's not really made by Paramount or whatever. It's sort of a lesser company.
Exactly. It's like, wait, Righteous Kill has a sequel? It's about Martin Baum?
Of course, why that would, you know, suck people in, I'm not really sure. Like, people are going to walk by in the video store and say, ooh, a Martin Baum story? Ooh. They get all excited. Like, why would they do that? I guess that's...
Well, I have an example. I just thought of something. Let me just get the title. Just give me a moment. which is, you know, there's a movie called Get Smart, you know, the remake of Steve Carell. Mm-hmm. Well, they made like a prequel or a sequel to the movie called Get Smart, Bruce and Lloyd Are Out of Control.
Because there's that real?
Two characters in regular and the Get Smart movie. They're a bunch of nerdos. And they got a spinoff movie right after Get Smart came out.
I had no idea. This is the first time hearing of this.
Yeah. And so, because these are like the funny nerds of Get Smart, the movie. That's like, I've seen it. And they kind of.
You've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
I didn't know this existed.
I've seen Get Smart, and I remember, like, wait, what's this thing? I'll just watch it. It was on free streaming. And they just, because Anne Hathaway is also in Get Smart, they snuck her in the sequel for, like, no reason. Like, she's on the phone, so they just snuck her in to get a big name like that. So it's all very stupid, you know.
So that's your pitch for the Martin Baum story? It's stupid. Yes.
It'll be just like Get Smart, Bruce and Lloyd's Out of Control. That's a very niche title. Who cares about
Martin Baum's Out of Control. Got it.
Yeah, well, no, but Martin Baum is like, he's like cool because he's always being hassled by Robert De Niro and Turk. Yeah. But we'll go to our next thing. Any other ideas?
No, I think that kind of covers it. If you want to move on to the next idea.
Okay. Coming this summer, the Cold War, it's about to become a hot war. Russian weapon. So it stars Edward Snowden and Vladimir Putin as buddy cops, and they're out for revenge against Steven Seagal. And they go into all sorts of wacky situations and the car chases and blowups. And we also have some big name cameos, like Van Damme, to quote EX2, also Van Damme, and Trump as Chief Ronald Mump. They made Edward Snowden, you gotta take down Steven Seagal. Okay.
Alright, so it's called Russian Weapon?
Yes, so it's like Lethal Weapon, but this is Russian Weapon.
Okay, because when you say that, obviously the first thing I thought of was that kind of mid-2000s period with Dolph Lundgren, where he was playing a lot of Russians, you know, like Russian specialist. And others. So that kind of made me think of that. Or Alexander Nevsky.
Well, yeah, Nevsky's in the movie too. So we've got Nevsky, you got Trump, you got also Michael Paré.
Right? Of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
So they're all in this big action movie. But, you know, of course, they cut corners because it's shot in Russia. But it's just, so any ideas for that, Matt or Brett?
Matt.
Well, we talked about maybe like cameos with like Eric Roberts and people like that, like your kind of usual suspects. But you know, the idea was Snowden and Putin. Yeah, I was trying to think of some of the stuff that we I was like, it. I mean, just the idea of of those two doing like a Lethal Weapon kind of thing, because we were kind of go ahead.
No, they're friends.
Yeah. Yep. We were like piling on names, and it was just like. Of Russian, you know, like people that would be in this movie. I think it was based off of Red Prophecies. We were just kind of piling on these names. And then, you know, I think it was Ty was like, what about Edward Snowden? And it was like, okay, this is perfect. Now, like once we had him in, we knew we had something.
And at the end,
because you have the younger guy and the older guy, you know, obviously I'm guessing Putin is getting close to retirement.
Yeah, he's too old for this, right? He's getting too old for this.
Yeah, it's like, I'm getting too old for this, Doc. And then Edward Snowden says, I'm never too old for this. And he shoots a machine gun at a bad guy.
We were talking too about
glasses in slow motion.
Right, exactly. That's right. Yes, the glasses. Yeah, because we were talking too about how Putin was giving Tucker Carlson a hard time in the interview that Carlson did with Putin. You know, he was he wasn't making it easy on him, despite the fact that it was kind of a propaganda interview. So we're kind of talking about that fact too, that Putin would be a kind of a hardo kind of character.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. And plus, he is kind of a man of action in his own right. Like, you know, there's all those pictures of him on a horse. And
he would do that in the movie. He'd be shirtless on a horse shooting people. It's like that'd be one of the big ones.
Does kind of make sense because, you know, it seems like both Snowden and Putin want to be in movies anyway. And they'd kind of be at home being in a movie, you know, whether together or not, you know. So I guess together would be perfect because, you know, it'd be a movie debut for the both of them.
Yeah, it would just be all these great action scenes that you want to see. Him shooting people on a horse, Edward Snowden taking off his glasses. You know, he's shooting a bunch of computers. Like, I'm not a nerd anymore. So it's like... He just shoots computers.
Well, I think, Matt, you mentioned Eric Roberts. Obviously, he'd have to appear on a screen.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So, your favorite names. Everywhere you look, there's going to be a name.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look, Eric Roberts. Right. Hey, look, Michael Paré.
And the shooting at the screens, we were kind of going based off of Blood Fist 6, right? Where, where you know, at the very end there, where Wilson just starts firing on the computers because he doesn't know how to turn them off. Like, that kind of that idea.
And that was the movie with the grandpa, right? Like General Grandpa. Remember that?
I mean, in the helicopter.
Yes, it was.
Oh, no. That's Ring of Fire 3.
Oh, right.
Oh, right. No.
Yeah, I enjoy that. Yeah.
Yes, because General Grandpa like sexually harasses the woman who played Kirstie Alley's character in the third Star Trek. I can't remember the actress's name because she was also the mob boss mom in Recoil, right? She's the one who's like telling the mob boss, "You're getting all of our sons murdered," you know, and all that stuff, right? She's like this like higher up in the military, and Grandpa. General Grandpa was like sending her like blow up dolls and doing all this sexual harassment stuff. And it was like, ah, you wacky General Grandpa, you're getting your comeuppance here, as opposed to like, no, this should be like a major investigation kind of thing.
So that could be a whole new movie too. General Grandpa. So it's like, he wants to be Patton, but he can't. So he's just General Grandpa.
It could be a kid's movie. Yeah.
It could be like a kid's movie. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. And then he takes a bunch of kids in the neighborhood and they fight the bullies or something.
Right. And he's like kind of, you know, he's an old rascal. That General Grandpa.
But Ed Asner. What was the, well, they could have gotten Ed Asner, but what was the, remember the movie with Christian Slater and then she was a ballerina? And
Oh, are you talking about... Well, White Swan, also known as titles escaped me right now. Assassin's Run.
Assassin. Oh, right. Sofia Skaya. Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe she could be in this movie too.
Are you talking about a Russian weapon?
Yes, Russian weapon.
Okay. I'm going to talk about General Grandpa.
No, no. Well, she could be in that too, but why not?
Let's not forget, well, the guy who played General Grandpa in Blood Fist 6 Ground Zero was Win Irwin.
Right.
But let's not forget that Steve Garvey is also in Blood Fist 6.
Yes. So I was watching the Phillies last night, and after the game was over, Mike Schmidt, who's like kind of the greatest third baseman of all time, he was doing the game, and so the analysts were talking to him after, and he's like talking about Alec Bohm, which, you know, kind of almost like Martin Baum, Alec Bohm, but he's the new third baseman, and Mike Schmidt's like, you know who he reminds me of? He's like Steve Garvey. And I was like, oh man, he's bringing up Garvey, this is great. It's like, so it's like two Garvey references in 2 days is definitely for me, that's unique to get that many Garveys in 2 days.
It's a record. But yeah, I mean, you know, all that sounds good. And all this is kind of presumptive of the fact that Blockbuster still exists, Ed Asner still alive, and people can go to a video store and peruse all these boxes, right? Because, you know, today, I mean, I guess they'd go to streaming.
Well, Russian Weapon would probably go to the theater, I hope. Or maybe, you know, or watch from home. What's the thing? Premiering at home. Nice way of saying just streaming it. It's like, so let me see. Let me go to our next thing. Unless you have any ideas.
Nah, I think that's it.
But let's see. Okay. Here's a movie idea. Yeah, we all love CIA 1, you know, O.J. Simpson.
Of course.
And CIA 2, Lorenzo Lamas and Captain Kinmont. Now it's time finally for CIA 3, The Last Target. Michael Madsen is the last target, and Lamas comes out of retirement. So, because they never acted in the movie before.
So, this would be like if PM still kind of existed.
If PM still existed, you can get Lorenzo Lamas and we'll definitely say, and Michael Madsen, and CIA 3, The Last Target. So, Madsen, he's like, We think here. Well, he's like a fugitive on the run. He's the last target. Lorenzo Lamas has to stop him. I don't remember what the other plots were. CIA one. Remember O.J. Simpson? But just like
well, so if they got O.J. for that, who would they get for this? They'd have to get
Steve Garvey.
Okay, Steve Garvey.
Well, who else is a good football? Oh, how about I know it's not a football player. We got Reggie Jackson.
Yes, Ty. That's
yeah. Fred Williamson. Would he be too old? Would Williamson be too old?
Well, if Lamas is coming out of retirement, maybe Williamson could be his buddy, who's also maybe coming out of retirement or older, and they can make it work.
You know, it would kind of be like that Hebner movie. I was just picturing, now the title's A Prime Target. You know, you got him and Tony Curtis.
Right, okay.
Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen Prime. No, I need to see more Hebner. I think I've seen one Hebner movie, Lethal Ninja or whatever it was.
Oh, that's right. But that's not the one about Ross Kettle. That's
the non-Kettle. I've seen the non-Kettle. Well, I've seen the Kettle and the non-Kettle. I've seen both versions.
Yeah, that's you're covering all your bases there.
Yeah, covering all your kettles. You're covering your kettles, yeah. So that could be like a movie you'd see, like in 1994. Maybe, or it would be last target. It'd be like, let's say, the year 2000. It's like
well, because Jim Brown also appears a lot with Fred Williamson. Maybe he could be the football player.
Well, he's no longer with us, too, right? So one name we hadn't thought it was Eddie George was in a Steven Seagal movie. So he could potentially be, that could be one, maybe. Or Gronk. I guess we could do Gronk. I don't Gronk, know.
Right. I'm going back into that. I was just going to say Daryl Strawberry.
It seems like nowadays, anytime they get someone from outside of acting, it's usually like an MMA person. So this would be different. They could actually recruit from the world of the NFL, like instead of the normal, you know, punchers that, you know, are in, they're infiltrating the MMA. They could actually get, someone from a sports league like they used to.
Well, that's an amazing segue to my next idea. You know, from the world of MMA, there's Keith Jardine and also Heath Herring. So let's put them together with Jardine Sardines and Heath Herring Fish.
Oh, I get it.
So don't get mean. Have a sardine. That's the tagline for Jardine Sardines.
Okay, and so this is a product. This isn't a movie.
This is a product you can get at your local fish market. So it's a food idea.
Okay, and so these are MMA people.
These are MMA. Keith Jardine's an MMA fighter, and Heath Herring's he's in these punch fights, with Hector Octavarria, Brett.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you've seen what Keith Jardine looks like, but he has kind of like a gap, kind of some gap teeth. So he smiles, and it's kind of funny. It's like because they're part of the UFC, the United Fish Champions,
which is
the local fish market, and they both have Gorton Fisherman Slickers.
Okay, sounds like a good team up.
Well, they both smile.
Well, because you have, you know, Dustin Poirier, his same last name. Though I think he pronounces it Poirier instead of Poirier. But anyway, he has his like line of hot sauces because he's from Louisiana. It's a Cajun thing. But the idea of like a UFC line of cured fish, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah, I guess it's time has come, I suppose. Well, cured. How is it cured? That's all about how it's cured, you know.
Well, this meat could be pickled, smoked fish. That's what Keith Jardine would say. And then,
I actually do like sardines.
Oh, so. Yeah. Okay. You can have a Jardine sardine then.
I suppose I would have to try one.
You know, we'd be able to get them in the fancier organic section. These would be organic, you know, sardines. These would not just be like your store brand sardines.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's like the area of Stop and Shop where the flooring changes and the prices go up a bit, and it becomes a classier, or so they say, area.
Right. That's where you get your instead of like just your store brand or like your national chain pretzels, right? You get like the organic, gluten free, kinds of, and it's like the bags are nice, and I guess too, because like a lot of those organic foods, like they have a story behind them, right? I don't know if you. They look on the bag and it's like, you know, well, my child had 18 different food allergies and I just found there weren't any, you know, so we decided in 1998 to make whatever types of chips, you know, and it's like this whole thing, you know, it's like, and then there's like the picture of the family and it's all that stuff. And it's like, you don't get that with Lay's, right? Lay's is just like, here's the chips. You want them? Right. There you go.
Yeah, there's no story. Well, that, see, this is, now you're getting into one of my pet peeves, which is like when you look up the website for a restaurant because you want to look at their menu, maybe you've never been there before, and you can't find it. But what you can find is our story.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm hungry. I don't care about your damn story. I just, show me the menu. Where, yes. What food do you sell? Why are you doing this thing with your story? And why is that always so much easier to find than the menu?
Right. Well, because the other thing they do, I don't know if you've noticed, have you ever noticed too that they outsource their menu to like Grubhub or something? And
right.
It's like, yes. I'm not ordering online. I want to know what you have before I walk into your establishment.
Yes.
But, right. Exactly. It's like, because I guess like the thing is like, if you're walking, you can see the menu outside the location, but it's like, no, I want to know in advance if this is a place I want to eat at. And it's like, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, well, I'm not ordering. I'm not, you know, so, oh, I got to go through Grubhub and see what you have and then find out that like half the stuff, you know, it's like, yeah, I agree with you. It's like, you know, you got to find, what is it? The hamburger? Is that what they call it? The three lines that you click on and it gives the drop down. But even then it's like, you go to the menu and it's like, brunch menu. No. It is 8 p.m. on a Monday. I'm not getting brunch. Where's the?
Well, that's the other thing. When they can't find a menu, it's the wrong menu. Exactly.
Right, exactly.
It's like drinks. Like what? Right, why? Exactly. Why is that always so much easier to find than your dinner food?
Right. Exactly.
No, you can't. Right. They outsource it to slice.com. Like, I just want this kind of pizza.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. And it's true that you're right, Matt. They make it seem like you're going to place some sort of order.
Right.
That's not what I'm doing.
Well, I just tricked the system, pretend to make the order, and I cancel it.
What did you have to do? Right. That's exactly right. It's a whole, you know, and I wonder, pretty soon there's going to be like some kind of clickbaity article thing where it's like, you know, 8 ways to know the restaurant's not a good restaurant. And one of them is going to be, you can't find the menu when you go to their website. It's like,
but see, that's the thing. We shouldn't have to go through all these hoops. You know, yes, right. You can pretend to make an order and you can go through all that. You shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but all right. Well, that was a good tangent.
Okay, so we're going to do our couple kids movies ideas.
Okay. All so right. General Grandpa is not one of them.
Well, that's our new one. Well, when Erwin supposedly might be still alive.
Nah, so, I would count on that. I mean, he was kind of old back then.
We'll take a look and see. But...
No, he died. He died, let's see, 6 years ago, or maybe more, actually.
He did die in 2018, yeah.
Yeah, 85. Well, I could have made.
Yeah.
Well, he was born in 32, so he would be, if he was still with us, he'd be in his 90s now.
Let's bring him back.
Perfect, but oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah, an interesting career. So, okay, our next item is, okay, so there's two versions of this idea. I'll do the happy version. You know, as you know, fruit by the foot is a very popular kids' food.
Is it still, or is it was in the 90s?
Well, it's more popular than the 90s. You know, whoa, cool, fruit by the foot. You get like 3 feet of like fruit goodness, man. You know? But how about this? Nickelodeon presents Mystery by the Foot. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the Hardy Boys or something like that. But there's a mysterious, well, I don't say death because it's the happy version. So there's a mysterious theft at the Fruit by the Foot factory. I know that's the Fruit Roll-Up factory, but the same thing. And then a bunch of, like, precocious teens and kids try to find out the mystery. So it's like Scooby-Doo meets Fruit by the Foot.
What's the non-happy version?
Murder by the Foot.
Okay.
So Murder by the Foot is a dark one. It has, like, maybe has teens. But yeah, they're all disaffected teens and like dark teens. Like they still want to have their fruit by the foot and fruit roll-ups, but they're still kind of, they're dark and edgy. But instead of the theft, it's a murder.
So, I think I like that one better.
You like Murder by the Foot? Okay. So, and then you get like one big name to be in it. Like, you know, let's say...
Kirk Fogg.
Well, yeah, you get all your that's a good thing. You get all your Nickelodeon stars like Kirk Fogg and Omek would drop by.
He would drop by. Okay.
Well, it'd be funny in a joke. He would be pushing Omek to say hi.
Because you have that movie that has Kirk Fogg. What's that movie?
Yeah, Distortion. Have you heard of this, Matt?
I don't think so.
It's directed and starring Kirk Fogg, the Legend of Third Temple guy. And the cover looks just like the Running Scared cover on DVD of Paul Walker. Just like it.
So if you look up that artwork, I think you'll laugh because it's clearly modeled after Running Scared. But instead of Paul Walker, it's Kirk Fogg.
It's Kirk Fogg. The blue barracudas are out for revenge this time.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes up with Kirk Fogg is distortion. That's like his, yeah.
It's kind of a dark movie. I haven't watched it yet. I will because, I have a copy. But it's just like, you get all your Nickelodeon stars. So you get your Kirk Fogg, you get your Melissa Joan Hart. anyone else from Nickelodeon?
But they would have to be the older characters now because now it's kind of more about the teens, isn't it?
Yeah, the teen. But you have to have what they say fan service. You got to have a couple names from your Nickelodeon past. Yeah, but these are older people, Exactly right. So the murderer could probably be like a big name, or it could be like Eric Roberts.
Who appears on a screen or a phone.
So he'd be in it for a second. Oh. It's like, who's we just found out the murderer. It's Eric Schmidt, also known as Eric Roberts, played by Eric Roberts. Yes, that's me. But I guess it gives you someone I can do an impression of, let's say Dolph Lundgren. You know, it's me, actually, I'm the murderer. I was just trying to take it for my own. So Dolph Lundgren he wants to take over the fruit roll-up factory. And then instead of fruit roll-ups, it's cocaine. So it's like
someone dies though.
Someone dies, but it actually becomes a conspiracy all the way to the top. And then Dolph Lundgren, it's like he unfortunately is foiled, but he does have a big long exposition scene about what's going on, because the fruit roll factory actually is a really good cocaine factory. They can make it really fast right to their other, and then they send it right to Bogota and stuff like that.
So when they make the cocaine, it looks exactly like Fruit by the Foot.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like cocaine by the foot essentially. Yeah, so cocaine. It looks like it, but it's white.
Yeah, exactly. But some color in it so you can hide it from the authorities and the sniffing dogs.
Right. Yeah, it's like that idea that like in every 80s movie, like people were smuggling cocaine by just putting it in everything. Like speaking of Running Scared, I can't remember the one that had Gregory Hines and
that was also called Running Scared.
Running Scared, right. Where it was, didn't Jimmy Smits like turn the cocaine into like pottery? When he was smuggling it? Yeah. You can just make cocaine into everything. Excuse me.
That's true. That was also, speaking of fish, cocaine would be in fish. It would be in, every type of thing you could think of was hiding the cocaine.
You got to hide it, man. I don't want the authorities to come get us.
It's like Cheech and Chong made fun of the concept in Next Movie, right? Where in Up in Smoke, right? Where like a van is made out of weed. And it's almost like, every 80s movie saw that idea and they're like, whoa, that's a great idea. If we did that seriously, we could just make everything out of cocaine. And that's how it gets smuggled into the US. And it's like, no, I don't think you can just do that with cocaine. I don't think cocaine is like plastic. I don't think you could just make anything out of it. But that's what they do. Fruit by the Foot, same thing. You just make, Fruit by the Foot, make it out of cocaine. And nobody knows, nobody's the wiser.
Makes sense.
I mean, we got something. I mean, I'm excited for the Dolph Lundgren fight scene with these teenagers that I just made up.
Mention before. Wait, so now the teens how does that work? So the teens fight Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah, it's a big fight because Dolph Lundgren could beat up five teenagers, no problem, but it's five against one.
I'm sensing some undefeatable going on there with that fight scene where it's like he's beating them up and then eventually like they're all kind of teaming up on him and then suddenly there just happens to be a nail sticking out of the wall for whatever reason,
Or there's like some exposed wiring and then like someone just gets pushed into it and then he gets electrocuted.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh no, I'm getting electrocuted. Oh, just like it hurts.
but then he could enroll them all in college.
Yeah. So okay. he's like a double agent. He's a good guy and a bad guy. I'll be playing Ivan Cocaine. It's just like,
or maybe Eric Roberts could be the one that enrolls them all in college.
Okay, yeah. Eric Roberts actually secretly nice.
It's part of Cynthia Rothrock scholarship fund.
I want to be part of that fund. Brett, would you go back to school for Cynthia Rothrock fund?
Well. I think it probably should go towards a better and far younger person. So
never too late to go back to school, what they say. Yeah. I say don't go to school, but that's just my own personal thing.
Right. So. Well, and I love the Eric Roberts in this movie. I think his entire, all of his scenes are just shot in this like fancy, like scholarly office, right? It's like, you know, a mahogany desk with like all these books behind him and like, you know, a computer, you know, like all that kind of stuff. Like it's very official with like his name, his character's name on it. And that's like all of his scenes. And he's just like on the phone, like, yeah, make sure these kids get all get scholarships. And then it shows the kid going, yay, we got scholarships. You know?
And then there's a freeze frame.
Exactly. Yeah.
Directed by Godfrey Ho. But just like this.
So that'd actually be like that movie that I would not recommend. That didn't like, what was it called? Assassins? No, the one we watch and it's really talky and
You're talking about
Hitman. Hitman. That's pretty much what Eric Roberts does in that movie. He sits behind the desk and he has that official kind of book, you know, he has all the books behind him and the mahogany desk. So he kind of does that in that movie Hitman.
Well, because you know what, actually going the Godfrey Ho route, between Hitmen, I haven't seen Hitmen yet, but the way you're describing it sounds about right. And between that one and Hitman in London, right, a.k.a. Skin Trap or whatever it was, not Skin Traffic.
Michael Madsen, Jeff
Fahey. Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, you got those scenes where Eric Roberts is behind a desk. Godfrey Ho could just splice those together and just dub somebody's voice over. I mean, probably could get Eric Roberts to dub his own voice, right, over those scenes.
Well, he did with the cat, where he was the cat, and he did it all from his bathroom.
Right. Yes. Oh, he just, unfortunately, maybe, if Godfrey Ho still made movies, he can just splice Eric Roberts to all the next ideas of ninja movies, so you have Eric Roberts instead of Richard Harrison.
Right, yeah, exactly.
right. And he'd have a headband that says ninja.
This is ninja, it's Eric Roberts.
Well, because that's the problem, right, is that because of SAG, right, we'll probably never get another Richard Harrison. But Eric Roberts, I feel like either him or Madsen would be the most willing to be a Richard Harrison.
I would love to see Madsen as a ninja. Oh, I'm a ninja. It's like,
I don't like that's how you. Yeah, that's how you know he's a ninja because he has that great headband.
Yeah. I love the idea of Michael Madsen talking on a Garfield phone as well. I think
we just we all love that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great. That's an amazing image.
Look at the eyes open when I lift up the receiver. I put the receiver down. The eyes closed. This is amazing. Look at this thing. This is great.
Brett, any Madsen impression for you?
If I had one, I think you would have heard it by now.
Okay.
But just to kind of tie this all together, if you get the undefeatable Blu-ray from Vinegar Syndrome, you know, it has that alternate cut called The Bloody Mary Killer. And Godfrey Ho is in Bloody Mary Killer. So he actually acts in the movie. And there's an interview with him on the disc. So that does kind of tie it all together, you know.
He could have been an actor. He was good in it. Like, he wasn't, like, distracting. Let's see. We'll go to our next few items here. We have some biopic ideas. Here we go. So stupid.
Wait, what ideas?
Biopics. Biographies.
Okay. I was like, what? Okay, biopic. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So, Owen Wilson as Kip Winger in The Winger Soldier.
I get it.
Heading for a heartbreak. Wow. Wow.
Well, because you know. Because you know how, what's his name? Red Beach was the guitar player for Winger. You know, he could start his guitar solo with like a whammy bar, which kind of sounds like someone going, wow.
Wow, wow, wow. He could be an ambulance. Wow, wow. It's noise. But
all right, so he plays Kip Winger. I don't know if that's the best casting. I feel like if we could probably come up with a better Kip Winger lookalike. Sure. I'm just trying to think who that could be. You're putting me on the spot here.
But I think that would be the best part is that like you'd have like Owen Wilson with like the feathered hair and the 5 o'clock shadow and like the dangly like cross earring, you know, and did he have like the guitar that was like, did Kip Winger have the guitar that was like the kind of like the, almost like a star kind of shape or was like a, you know, like the pointed parts, you know.
He probably did. I mean, he was a bass, first of all.
He was the bassist. That's right. I forgot. That's right. Because I think he was like a classically trained cellist or something like that, wasn't he?
It's definitely possible. I mean,
I think he's like a classical like composer or like something like that now. Like I think he does classical music now.
Oh, interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
Rocking to classical. That's pretty cool.
Exactly.
That's one of them. And I'll go to our next, unless you want to expand upon that.
Well, because, you know, I think of Owen Wilson as a guy with blonde hair. And I know this could be rectified easily, but, you know, obviously Kip Winger had dark hair. So,
right.
You know, it would have to be not just feathered, but also they'd have to dye his hair.
Wow, don't dye my hair. But it's like, we'll go to our, unless you have, all right, I'm going to go to our next biopic. Yeah. All right, so this is, I just bought this the other day with Matt. Here we go. It's the Puddle of Mud biopic, you know. The life of Wes Scantlin, that's his name, the singer.
Oh, wow.
So, if they made it in 2003, they can get Jason Mewes. But as an older Wes Scantlin now, they can get Stephen Dorff. You know what he looks like, right, Wes Scantlin, Brett?
Let me think. If I'm remembering right, couldn't Owen Wilson also play him too?
Well, yes, he has blonde hair, but he has black. He usually wears a black cap with blonde hair on the side of it. If you look up the song "Blurry" by Puddle of Mud, you'll see what I'm talking about. Or you may even get.
I don't think I'm going to be doing that anytime soon. Just
oh, okay.
I'm taking great pains to avoid anything Puddle of Mud related in my life. I don't think I'm going to start now.
You've had your nose, their expression is you've had your nose full of something. And I guess like in the late 90s, early 2000s, you've had your nose full of Puddle of Mud. You don't need any more.
I think you could say that. But are they the ones that did the song She Hates Me?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So there's She Hates Me, the Control song, what's it called? Drift and Die. And you know, you've heard these songs. Maybe if you look up the Man Apart trailer, they play Blurry.
Wow. Right. Blurry, the reason why I always get blurry in my head now is there's a radio host in Boston. His name's Joe Murray. And he used to work at McDonald's. And he was on one of the radio shows talking about this sandwich he invented called the McMurray. And it's like what you do is you buy like a quarter pounder and then two McChickens with no mayo on them, and you use the McChickens right as the buns, and then you put like barbecue sauce and stuff like that. So another person on the show made a song called the McMurray to the, you know, to the tune of Blurry. So it's like, can you make a McMurray? You know, it's like that was like song. So like whenever I just, you know, make me a McMurray, I will show you how, you know, it's like just like kind of the way that song went. And so like normally I'd be like, I can't handle that song. But the fact that somebody like said it to the tune of like making this, like, you know, this McDonald's sandwich. I actually did try it one time. I was when the Celtics were in the finals a couple of years ago. I was like, all right, I'm going to order some McDonald's. I'm going to put this together. It actually wasn't that great. I think you're better off just having a regular quarter pounder than using.
I love your sandwich stories. They're really great. Right? Like, yes. You're always getting a great sandwich or hamburger.
Yeah.
Like, what was that hamburger guy? It was like a soccer player hamburger.
I never got that. The Messi. Never made it over to get that. And I guess there's a chicken version now at the Hard Rock Cafe. It's like, yeah, you know what that is? Like, I get nervous when I go to the Hard Rock Cafe because I'm like, do I want to go in there? It looks like there's a lot of tourists and stuff. And then it's like, would I sit at the bar? You know, how would that work? And so I've got to just take the plunge sometimes. Just do it. Just go in there and be like, I'm getting the Messi burger.
And also which doesn't sound great. It's a Messi burger. It's like a sloppy Joe.
Right.
But didn't you also go to Wahlburgers at the airport?
I did. Yeah. So I was telling Ty about this because I got the Mark, right? The Mark is the Impossible Burger, I think, or Beyond Burger or something. And then I got the Brother Paul, I guess, which is like the classic. And I wanted to get the Donnie finally, but I couldn't find it on the menu. So I just ordered a regular burger. And then after I went through, it's kind of like what you're talking about here, about like being able to find the items you want on a menu. It was like one version of the menu had all of the labels, like Donnie's Burger, Mark's Burger, all that kind of stuff. Another version of the menu didn't. It didn't say whose burger was who. And I don't know the next time I'm going to be flying out at Logan, because I'm taking Amtrak up to visit my family the next time. So it's like, yeah, I don't know where, I don't think they have Wahlburgers. I think they had one in Philly and they closed. closed it. So I guess they didn't sell enough Donnie's.
See, well, that's your problem.
Right.
Now that Blue Bloods is ending at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Donnie might have to go back to the Wahlburgers.
Oh, no, they got rid of his burger. They're getting rid of his show. They're like erasing him from history.
Well, please. We thought they got rid of his burger, but it turned out they did. It wasn't that they got rid of his burger. It was that the one version of the menu didn't have it clearly labeled as the Donnie. So I was thinking, like, yeah, they got rid of Donnie's burger. What's going on here? And I ordered just and then I was like, no, they didn't get rid of Donnie's burger, but I'd already put in my order. You know, it's like, you know how airport prices are. It's like, you can't afford two burgers. You know, it's like,
no.
You know, it's like once you're committed to that one that you make, you know, it's like, it was like $17, I think, for like the burger with like, I don't know if I got fries with it or something. I can't remember, but it was like, it's a good price. You know, like they, you know, Logan Airport, they're not going to go cheap on you.
These are loser airport prices. It's
like, because, but you know, if you remember, KFC had the double down, which was, wasn't that where the chicken was the bread?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
So that is amazing. That's America for you in a nutshell. It's just double down. It's like, what's America in a nutshell? And it's just a picture of a double down sandwich. Oh, okay.
I get it. Yeah, that's if someone was coming from another country, that's, you know, they didn't speak English, we could, you know, show them that picture and, you know, think they'd understand.
To go back to the Puddle of Mudd biopic, when I was looking up Wes Scantlin, he's had a lot of ups and downs of the law and his life. So it's perfect. So he's popular in the early 2000s, and you get Jason Mewes, because that's what he looks like to me. And I thought he was Jason Mewes back in 2002. Like, oh, he's in a band, too. and now he's in his 50s plus, and now he can get Dorf. And he's all kind of disheveled and sad, and he's just doing the country music, or kind of doing the country farms and but he's like, these, you know, he's jamborees now. It's kind of a dark story for Puddle of Mudd.
Well, like the state fair circuit, you know. Yeah,
thank you. Fair.
That's where the people threw all those biscuits and bread pieces at the guy from Smash Mouth, and he got mad.
Yes. So. Why don't I know that immediately?
Well, because also the Vanilla Ice story, right? They talked about when his agent was like, I couldn't get him booked for Knott's Berry Farms. And Knott's Berry Farms is free to get into. It's like kind of to show us how far Vanilla Ice had fallen in the 90s.
Yeah, that's not good. But you know,
listen to the Hard Rap album, Brett?
You
ever listen to the Hard Rap
album? The one that was
Vanilla Ice?
Right, it was produced by the guy who produced Korn, I think, right?
It was like mid to late 90s. Did you ever hear it or anything?
It was like he did like a new version of Ice Ice Baby, right?
Yeah, but it was like a
Korn style version. It was like all kind of because it was like the Korn producer, the guy who produced like all the Korn albums. He produced that Vanilla Ice album. And I remember the Ice Ice Baby was like Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah, I remember that, dude. Because they had a clip of it on Behind the Music.
Right. Yes.
Brett, any memory of this? Or?
I remember he was on an episode of Toy Hunter because he actually, I guess, is a toy collector. And he bought it was the Technodrome playset, if I'm not mistaken. Or no, the sewer playset, maybe, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Because I guess now he's like inextricably linked with Turtles because he was in part two of the movie.
Ninja rap.
And you get exactly.
Go Madsen. It's like, but it's like.
So I do remember him on Toy Hunter back when that was on TV.
What is the secret of the ooze? I forgot. Is that a spoiler? Or I don't.
It's Vanilla Ice. He comes out of the ooze.
Oh, he's the ooze.
Well, he's the secret of the ooze.
He's the secret of the ooze.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how else do you explain his presence there?
So he comes. Classic ooze.
All right, so I can probably move on to the next.
All right, let's go to our next. Just a couple more. I have a big one coming up at the end, so I'll just do like maybe two small ones. And then, all right, let me find a good one here. Okay, here we go. We're going back to the Dorf train. Stephen Dorf and Dermot Mulroney. They're both gruff and cool. The cops who take down the baddies. Bounty law. And it'll be set in New Orleans, and Dorf has a Hawaiian shirt, and Dermot is in suits.
But he has to have one of those hats. It's like it's like a white hat. It's kind of like a fedora, but it's a lightweight fedora.
But this is a tough fedora for Dorf.
Oh,
for Steve. So, Matt, he is for bounty law.
Boy, that's it. Boy, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, because I'm trying to remember, because this is one I don't remember us talking about necessarily right away. But I think
it's a newer one.
But the idea, right, of like having like a kind of a reality show, right? Or was that what it was?
This is a real show. This is like a movie.
Oh, that's right. We're doing a movie where there were bounty hunters. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a funny idea that they could be celebrity bounty hunters.
Well, it would be like Steven Seagal Lawman, where they're actually practicing law. Well, or you know what I mean, and order.
Yeah. I love Steven Seagal Lawman. Which season 2 wasn't so hard to procure.
But this seems like a movie that would have been on USA or, you know, I could see it being produced, you know, by USA, you know, or maybe back in the day, the TBS Superstation. So, you know, it would be an action movie, but it wouldn't be too crazy or violent. It would be like Shutter Speed. that movie would sting.
Don't watch that, Matt. Shutter Speed. It's very boring. Yeah. Boring speed.
Yeah. But it does have Sting, the wrestler.
Yes, right. Which you gotta, yeah. I mean, yeah. He didn't do a lot of movies. It's interesting, like who does movies and who doesn't for wrestlers. I guess it's one of those things where it's like Piper had it, I guess, and right. It's like we got to do movies with Piper, but like in The Rock, obviously, you know. But like Sting seemed like he would have been perfect for movies, but I guess it's like once you take the face paint off, it's kind of like, you know, what do you got?
He's kind of a meathead.
He looks like a meathead. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not, you know, an impediment in any way. I mean, it didn't stop our favorite meatheads in life. You know, like, it's not like Evan Lurie ever, you know, wore face paint and then took it off. He was just a meathead, you know, from the jump. But so just him taking it off in itself was not a problem. But the thing is, he needs better scripts to work with. Like, I feel like it could have been something, but...
It was pretty disappointing. It was more like a murder mystery with Sting in it. It didn't do much action. And his girlfriend's played by Daisy Fuentes.
So that sounds good.
Go back to her for a minute, you know. It's like she's like Carmen Electra. Like, she's like the lesser version of Carmen Electra is Daisy Fuentes.
How dare you? That is so unfair.
Because one of the I went to the movie theater recently to see Cinderella's Revenge. That it's like a low budget one that Tom Joliffe, who wrote Renegades, he wrote the movie. It was produced by Mark L. Lester, you know, of Commando and Shadow of Tokyo fame. But they were doing trailers, and one of the trailers was the new Crow movie, and it is kind of, it feels like a very missed opportunity that it wasn't Sting playing the Crow in the new Crow, because he did that whole Crow routine, you know, and it's as a wrestler.
He doesn't have to do any makeup. You could save a lot of time shooting. You just
He can go right from his wrestling to right to the movie set. Is that what you're saying? Or just that he wears his makeup just like in his spare time and his off hours.
Yeah. Why, and he's got like the baseball bat, right? Like he just has the, you know, I think that's what the deal is, right? He would walk in with like the big leather duster and the baseball bat with the Crow makeup. And, That would be perfect. That would be the movie. You know, you just watch around beating people up. And they're even like, you know, did you come back from the dead? I don't know. I'm just here beating people up with this dude.
I mean, if they can't get Edward Furlong, I guess that would be.
Did you just read my mind? They could do Crow 5, another Wicked Prayer. It would just be Sting.
Edward Furlong.
Yeah, he was the Crow in Crow 4, Wicked Prayer. Also starring Tara Reid and Dennis Hopper as a homie. You know, it's like, what'd he say? Will you be your homie now or forevermore? And you got Macy Gray.
Watch
it today. It's very
right, watch it today. All right. So where are we in all this?
What were we talking about before? I forgot. Oh, Dorf and Dermot as cops, as like bounty hunter, bounty law.
Well, it'd be like bounty hunters and bounty hunters too with Dudikoff.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of lighthearted, but there's some dark moments too. There's a good villain, maybe played by, you know,
Sting.
I'm trying to think of someone I can do an impression of again. Let me think. That's a Stallone. I'm in a Canadian movie. Maybe just Stallone. Oh, I watched Rhinestone this morning.
What'd you think?
Very silly.
I love Rhinestone. It's great. Yeah,
it's really fun.
People should watch it. It's good. It, you know, I enjoyed Rhinestone a lot. It's not like one of these movies that's like really bad. You think it's going to be bad? It's not. It's really not. I would recommend Rhinestone.
We gave it a real fair shake. And it was fine. I enjoyed it. It's like, you know, he's singing. It's like, oh, no. It's like,
He's like, he's arm wrestling Dolly Parton. Right,
he has to look like on the poster. Right. Yeah. Over top two, Rhinestone.
Wow.
Like, they don't do any. That's true. I did see the poster today. It's like, wait, why is he arm wrestling?
So it's like a version of My Fair Lady. It's,
Pygmalion, something like that. You know?
Right. Yeah, except it's you know, with the, you know, reversal of the sexes. So, you know, right. Dolly Parton is trying to help Stallone, but also become a country star. So not just become a refined person, but to turn this sort of like New York guy with no connection to the country into like a country star. And
it was very energetic, very high, high energy performance by Stallone.
Well, 84, he was a lot younger, right? He was, there was no need for Botox at that time, or like, yeah, just, you know, all that kind of stuff.
No family, yeah. Stallone of Sistine and the other ones.
Right. There was no family yet. Yeah. At that point, 84. Yeah. He was
just goofing around.
Yeah, right. As he's also got Tim Thomerson, which you got to love.
Yeah. He's the villain.
In between Trancers movies, he does this. He did this.
Right. I think they're still making Trancers. Aren't they? Like Trancers 37.
Right. Exactly. They're all like 72 minutes long. And yes, it's like.
Yeah, exactly. You put it on, and it's basically, then there's the credits. It's like. Right. Yeah,
exactly. And starring Tim Thomerson. Starring Tim Thomerson.
Right.
Yeah. Tim Thomerson. Well, Bruce McCall's band and the end credits. It's like.
Yeah. Here's some. Remember when the Helen Hunt was in the second one? You know, here's footage of Helen Hunt from the first and second one, and then we'll be hearing from her lawyers here in a bit, because we've been, you know, using this footage for however many movies, but we did have Helen Hunt in one of these movies, or these two of these movies.
She should do one again. She's not doing much. I heard they made a Mad About You reboot.
They did. Yeah, it was like a streaming one. It was like,
yeah, I don't think what? I didn't see Mad About You the first time. Well, see, and you didn't watch Aliens, but never mind.
You should mention Aliens, because I just went to go see Alien.
Oh, you did go see that? Okay, yes. How'd it go?
Oh, great. Nice.
Yeah, so it's the 45th anniversary of the release of the original Alien from 1979. They re-released it into the movie theater, and I went to go see it, and it was awesome. So
that time.
Yes, because I'd actually never seen it before. So the first time I'd ever seen Alien was on the big screen, which most people my age could not say.
So I do have, but my wife, I shouldn't be saying this because she doesn't want people to know how old she is, but she was four when Alien was out. But I don't know if it was either her or her dad or something. They thought it would be a good movie to, like, you know, go to for a kid. And they realized very quickly I think this was the movie. I think this was the one where it was like, oh no, we got to get out of here. Like, this isn't kind of good. This isn't a good kids movie.
They thought Alien was a
I think it was a movie. I thought it was Alien, but actually I could be wrong, because it seems like this one's really, really young. When did Aliens come out? Cause maybe that's the one. That was 86. No, maybe. Okay, so maybe it was Aliens, because that's so maybe that's what it was. That was the one. So it does seem a little extreme that it was Alien that they, you know. But it is also possible to think about back then, right? If you weren't watching TV a lot, you wouldn't know what the movie was about. So it's like you see, you know, a picture of something, and you know, you think of other movies that have aliens. They're kind of nice, you know, like.
I guess
E.T. wouldn't have been out, but Close Encounters I think would have been, right?
Around the same time frame, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I'm talking about the first one or
the first Alien one?
No, there would have been no E.T., but it would have, you know, and I guess Alf was still a few years away, so, you know,
right.
But these cuddly aliens were still yet to come.
Yeah, but I think Close Encounters would have been out by then. That was that was 77. Yeah, so I don't know. I'll have to ask her to find out which one it was that she saw in the theater without meaning to. But one of those ones, it does seem a little extreme, one that you take a four-year-old to any movie. Yeah. So I think it was probably Aliens, because she would have been she still would have been young for that one in the theater, but it would have been a little bit older, so.
You know, and also there was Star Wars, so, you know, there was Yoda and, you know, some more friendly type alien.
Yoda's an alien, right?
Well, he's not from Earth. Doesn't that make him an alien?
Right, exactly. Because she did see those. She did see the second two, Empire and Return of the Jedi, both in the theater. So, yeah, so that would almost square a little bit more. But I think But yeah, but I guess that still would have been before Alien would have still been before those two. So I'm thinking, because I just can't imagine. I'm trying to think of bringing a 4-year-old to the movie theater like that. That's probably where it's a little extreme. Not even that you make the mistake that it's Alien, but you're just like, you know, because I don't. What does a 4-year-old do at a movie theater? I guess you know, I was trying to think myself the first time I went to the movies, but I think I was a little older than that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You just sit there and you look at the screen. I mean, just like anybody else, unless you're really bored or something, but you know, pretty much anything would entertain a 4-year-old probably. So any 4-year-old would probably just sit there, you know.
Yeah, it's probably a good point. You probably wouldn't know you're watching if you're seeing like face huggers and stuff like that. Like, how would you even know that that's bad if you're 4?
That sounds right. So nice. Oh, you're cuddling my face. Oh, you're hugging my face. That's why, if you want to laugh right now that you're on the Alien train, you should probably now watch Prometheus. So, I'm not giving anything away though, Brett.
Yeah, and I think that one's on Hulu.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a prequel.
Yeah, because essentially, like Ridley Scott, from my understanding, is because I was looking at, I watched the two Alien versus Predator movies for my solo podcast, and I was looking into it. I guess Ridley Scott was so annoyed with the Alien versus Predator movies that were kind of fashioning themselves as prequels to Alien that he was like, I want to make my own prequels and essentially just erase those from like any kind of thing. So Prometheus, like he just essentially with Prometheus just completely just removed the Alien versus Predator movies from any kind of Alien like storyline or anything like that. I guess what the kids would say, like the canon, right?
Well, it seems like he also, not to give any too much spoilers, but he also removed all the intelligence of Alien in Prometheus. Right. If you actually watch the movie, because it's very dumb.
I haven't seen it yet either. I need to see it.
I won't give anything away, but there's one part where you gotta be kidding me. So, I mean, I was like, I slapped my hand on my forehead. Now, two very quick ones, and we'll do the final big one.
Okay.
So, let's go back. Well, actually, let's go today, because today is Sunday, to CBS Sunday morning.
Is that Charles Kuralt, or is that
something? I was gonna say Gene Pauly, but here's the idea. So, Martin Mull has a new product line, Martin Milk. So I only have the opening. So just you're switching channel, you put on CBS. Here we go. You change to CBS. So get into that mindset.
That's gonna be tough for me to do, but I'll try.
You're just sitting there, just like laying around. Okay, CBS Sunday morning. Okay, here we go. Welcome back. Here's one apple that does fall from the tree. Funny man Martin Mull joins us to talk about his new milk and show his standing room and how tranquil he is. Here's Jane Pauly with the report.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Which was the first? Was it mulled cider? Martin Mull cider?
Well, Martin Mull cider or Martin Milk? Yeah.
So Martin Milk.
Well, no, I was going to say that. If it's Martin Mull, wouldn't it make more sense if he made wine? Because this isn't wine.
Martin Mull wine, mulled apple cider. It's just like, I don't think I put the mulled wine inside the note. Sorry.
Oh, no. See, that to me makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, okay. Hey.
Well, because they have mulled cider too, right? You can mold wine, mulled cider.
So he's talking about mulled cider.
Because you can mull all kinds of things, can't you?
Yeah, I think you can mull anything you want. I think.
Well, we did that. We mulled it over in that TV idea, a TV show idea.
We mulled it over.
Yeah. Him and Richard Mull, you know.
right. Yeah.
So yeah, that was. I only have the opening idea. So you just see some lady on the screen to talk about, and there's a picture of Martin Mull on the screen on the left.
Why is he on CBS Sunday morning? I guess I'm missing.
Because it's like a quiet show you can watch like at 10:30 in the morning or maybe 9:30 in the morning, and it's just like he's on at 9:30. Martin Mull.
So he's there demonstrating the product, like wearing an apron.
Yes, he's wearing an apron, and he also has a couple of pepper and a couple of his classic mall jokes. Yeah. And he's like, and then they laugh, and there's like a lot of B-roll, and it's only about like 6 to 7 minute segment.
Walking in the orchard.
Walking in the orchard.
Yeah. But there's a voiceover over it, so you don't really hear what they're saying.
Exactly. Yeah, the voiceover's like, here's Martin Mull's cider room. He's just having a good time. And then they cut to him and they have a little mini interview with him. And you can totally see that, right?
It's like, but it's like a sound bite. So soundbite. It's, you know.
A couple sound bites. Yeah. So I think we've all seen that. That's the thing. So.
Yes, it's all very silly.
All right, so the last short one I have, it's so silly, so get ready. Now, as we talked about in previous podcasts, Trump wants everyone, you know, to vote for him, but certain people couldn't vote for him in 2016 because they died, you know, like Sherman Helmsley.
So it was like, right. Okay. So, I know that was one of his main things he wanted to do before he passed away.
Sherman didn't vote for me. He died. He would have voted for me. But now let's go back to even farther in the past. So let's go to like Abraham Lincoln. So it's like Abraham Lincoln didn't vote for me. He got shot. He's going to, but he got shot. I also got shot. But I was okay. It's like, so he just goes.
Wait. So anyone who's ever lived in history is a potential Trump voter.
Yes.
But because they died, because the human lifespan is you know, about a 100 years or so, they can't vote for Trump. Is what you're saying.
Anyone you can think of in the past. So if you can give me one, I'll do it. They're like, Napoleon didn't vote for me.
It's almost like he takes it personally that they didn't vote for him. Like they didn't stay alive long. You're like, Abraham Lincoln was a great guy. He's great president, but didn't vote for me. That was an issue. That's a shame. I hold that against him. It was, you know, I wish he'd voted for me. He probably should have, you know, if he had it to do over again, he would have.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have a name, Brett, to go back in the past. So it's like,
I'm just trying to how about someone from the Bible?
Adam? Moses. Adam.
The first man. Yeah, Methuselah, you know, he lived to be 969 years old. He still couldn't vote for Trump. I mean, he had all that time.
Methuselah didn't vote for me. Okay. I love the Bible. He didn't vote for me, though. Okay. He was going to. He always say that, too. He's going to. How far can he go? Okay. How silly can this get, Brett?
Very silly. I don't know. How about like a caveman named Grok?
Yeah, I was actually thinking of a dinosaur, like a
Lucy, right? The
Cro-Magnon man. Yeah,
right.
It's like that pterodactyl didn't vote for me. Okay, it's like a caveman. Yeah, so
he was a Neanderthal. He was a political Neanderthal.
Perfect. Perfect. Isn't that great? It's just like he's a political madness. He didn't vote for me, though. He's a Neanderthal. Okay, I was not a Neanderthal. Okay, believe me. Excuse me. The caveman would have voted for me.
Okay.
Any more, or you want?
I think that we've gone as far as we can go.
Okay, because I only had was Lincoln, but just like,
You know,
like James Garfield was gonna vote for me. He got shot.
Like McKinley was going to vote for me. He got shot. Everyone who wants to vote for me got shot. I think it's a conspiracy. They're trying to stop our greatest presidents from voting for the new greatest president.
It's your favorite president. It's me. Donald Trump. Guys who would have voted for me. And Odie. And Nirmal.
Right. Odie. Yeah. But then, you know, Garfield kicked him off the table, right? That's what he did.
He kicked him off the ballot.
It all comes back around.
So the last one I have, let's see, you have any ideas for even farther people in the past?
No, I don't think we can go much farther than Cro-Magnon man.
Cro-Magnon. Okay, let me just get it here. Okay, here we go. Final one. Brett, as you know, in Connecticut, there is an airport called Tweed Airport.
Yes, there is.
How about this idea? And I told it to Matt, too. Shannon Tweed Airport.
Okay.
So it's a reality show. So I have a lot to read here. Shannon Tweed Airport could be a great reality show. She'll be running the airport with Instagram influencers as staff. But at the same time, the airport is being run by real professionals. But there's also a reality show going on. So does that make sense, Brett?
Well, yeah, because she has to corral these stupid teens into doing their job. So, you know.
Exactly. This confessional. So it's like. And guess who makes an appearance on this show? Because she's an Instagram influencer. It's our fake character. Hi guys, it's Tiffany Melissa. Hi guys. So Tiffany Melissa and Shannon are in a confessional. So they all do terrible jobs. These damn teens and she works at the Starbucks inside the airport. Tiffany Melissa. There's like, hi guys, Tiffany here working at my new job. Sad face emoji at Tweet Airport. Here, my guys. Come in, boss. Sad face. And then Shannon says, I'm not sure if these teens are doing very well. So, and then they cut to her doing a duck face on her phone. So it's a Brett.
Shannon Tweet Airport. That's one way to go with it. I mean, the other way would be like a 90s erotic thriller where, you know, things happen on an airplane. You know?
So it'd be like a murder mystery, like erotic thriller on an airplane?
Right. I'm trying to think if there's an erotic thriller I can compare this to where...
It could be even... It could be almost Night Eyes-ish, right? Because you've got security at an airport.
Right. Andrew Stevens could... be there.
Yeah, he could run the security for her, and she runs the airport, and like there's a murder going on, right? Like maybe like somebody, like some big deal at the airport gets murdered, you know, like a pilot or something, and it's like, who killed this person, you know? And then it's like, but you know, the pilot was into like erotic asphyxia or something, like you know, right, something really kinky, like
Dan
that,
Michael,
you know?
Vincent,
yeah,
or someone like that, maybe a Martin Hewitt.
Right.
Yeah, maybe there's like an underground S&M bar in the airport.
Oh, in the airport. Okay. Nobo.
Right. It's like, you know, like it's like only like the really fancy, like business class, like, you know, rich travelers can go to this, and like this fancy S&M bar inside the Tweed Airport.
And also, she would go down the escalator, but the secret escalator that goes down to the underground club.
Well, right. And I think, but she's very straight laced and buttoned up, and she doesn't want to go. She realizes in order to solve the mystery, she has to go to the secret part of the airport with all the Hellfire Club type shenanigans going on. So she doesn't want to do it, but she has to do it to solve the mystery. So she goes from her buttoned up persona to a sexy persona to go to this secret, you know, lounge. Yeah, and right. So then you see this transformation. Like the first part, she probably has her hair in a bun and she's wearing big glasses. Yeah. And then she has to become the Shannon we know and love to get into the club.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Like the big glass, like, yeah. And then like, I guess it could be Andrew Stevens. It could be anybody that's like it could be a Robert Davi as like a detective.
Who's right,
like,
yes.
You know, where would this person, where would somebody get into this kind of like S&M stuff in an airport? Who's doing this?
Yeah,
well, sir, there's an underground. What is it? Well, you got to get in there and find out what's going on. They're not going to let you down there.
I can't do it. You know, because she's not just going to immediately agree, because in movies, no one immediately agrees to anything. There has to be a conflict.
Right.
Can you just say yes? It's like, all right, let's get right to it. 75 minutes. Just like, let's get right to it. No, you gotta, it's like, nah.
So she puts up a fight. She doesn't want to do it at first, but she comes around because, you know, she wants justice, you know, like anybody else. And so then she has to traverse this unusual and dangerous world.
So it would be like a sexy version of the terminal. So
was she stuck in the airport?
Oh, she's hanging around the airport. She has to figure this out quickly before her next flight.
I thought she has a silly accent like Tom Hanks.
Oh, hey, she can have like a foreign accent. I never think about that. It's like she's never done accents. Maybe just for undercover character though, than her usual tweet.
Oh, voice. Right. Oh, a Swedish or like some kind of like Northern European, like German or something.
Exactly.
Right. Like she's playing the part of, and the funny thing is, right, because she doesn't have the big glasses and the bun, and she's doing the accent, nobody recognizes her as the person who runs the airport.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, completely different. And so she has to spend some time in this club, and she doesn't like it, but she's doing it for justice.
Means we're gonna have to change the title, because Tweed Airport is like Tweed. Right. So it's like,
true.
So I gotta think of a title, maybe like
Fatal Terminal.
Perfect. Fatal Terminal.
Because the Tweed Airport idea was almost like we were doing like our own version of Vanderpump Rules, but like
airport.
And all I know about Vanderpump Rules, of course, is from the Randall scandal. But it's that idea of like, in that case, it's just like a bunch of vacuous. I guess they weren't teens; they were like 20 somethings who just like run a restaurant and have drama. And this would be like the same thing, only they'd be running an airport and have drama. And they wouldn't be really running anything, right? Because I don't know if you go to the restaurant for Vanderpump Rules if you actually get food. I don't know if it's like a Hell's Kitchen kind of thing, right? Like, you know, if you go to the Gordon Ramsay, like the Hell's Kitchen thing, you don't get fed because the cooks can't cook.
And if you go to their website, you certainly can't find out what the menu is.
See it now. He just Gordon Ramsay yelled at Lala. It's like, this food's rubbish, Lala.
Right. Go cook it again. Cook it again. You know.
Lala.
Yeah.
See this guy, because did I tell you this, Brett? And then we can let you go. I can finish up the pod, which is I listened to the La La Randall Emmett podcast. Did I tell you that, Brett?
I don't remember.
Okay, so to make a long story short, I want to listen to one because they had Stallone on, and all her questions are very basic. It's like, hi, hey, Sly. It's like, what? How do you make Rocky? It's like, and then
Stallone, okay, I think you did tell me this. Yeah.
Okay, so these are good questions, La La. These are really good questions. It's like good questions. It's like, and then because Randall Scandal's like, you know, slobbering all over Sly. And it's like,
because right, he probably wants him to be in his next movie.
That's what he said. We made some movies together, man. We're going to make some new movies soon, man. Did you see there's a controversy with Randall Scandal? Another scandal for Randall Emmett. Because he made a new movie. It's called Cash Out. And it's John Travolta. So it's directed by Randall Emmett. But if you look on IMDb, it says it's directed by Ives.
No, just Ives. Randall,
it just says Ives. I-V-E-S. No first name. It just says Ives. In quotes.
Whatever happened to
what's that?
The name people would use. Alan Smithy. Alan Smithy. Whatever happened to Alan Smithy?
No, it's Ives now. So I guess it's like. So, because if you look up Randall Emmett's like name, it's like his middle name is like Ives,
right? So
Randall Ives Emmett.
Yeah, like, so this is like,
this is ridiculous.
The plot is thickening.
This is ridiculous.
If that's him, then why not just say it's him?
Because he directed Midnight in the Switchgrass and Savage Salvation. Why do you not direct this one?
Because I think there's the stuff going on with him where it's like, yeah, you can't use his name on things because he's so toxic, I guess.
That's pretty toxic. Yes, it's his name to Ives. But I can look it up pretty quickly. Ives.
Yeah, I looked it up here because I don't think, you know, because it doesn't list him as a producer on this at all.
They're hiding it.
Yeah. I'm wondering, yeah, because there's a lot of stuff going on with him based on the movie when you watch the Randall Scandal. Like, you know, he owes people money. He needs to pay people for things. He's, you know, obviously, like, his name is in really bad shape because of what happened with La La Kent, which doesn't make any sense necessarily, but it you know, it's whatever. You know, it's like it doesn't feel like she's, like, the greatest person either, but, you know, I think, yeah, it looks like, yeah, she's got one movie as a director, Cash Out, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, which is technically, Cash Out. A movie I would absolutely watch when it comes to streaming.
I'm sure you would. You can watch The Row. I've only seen one La La movie, which is The Row.
Did you like The Row? I forget.
Yeah, actually, I did like The Row. I thought it was pretty entertaining.
What was the one we saw? Was it Wrong Place?
Wrong Place. La La is like a sheriff or something. It's very
strange. Right. Yeah. It's not. Yeah, she gets killed by some guy who's got tattoos all over him or something like that. I can't remember. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
See, this is what the podcast has turned into. You're talking about La La Ken, Randy.
Right, exactly.
So we should probably wrap it up soon.
Yes. Okay, because I mean, you're saying this podcast has hit rock bottom. Because
is it rock bottom or maybe just above rock bottom? But you watch the trailer. We talk about this all the time, right? The trailer for The Row.
Yeah. I don't remember if I watched
the trailer. Remember, I think it's like Randy Couture. La La Ken.
Oh yeah, well, that is. Oh, that's the one where he says that's the row. Serious. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, then I guess I have seen that.
Yeah, and I love that. Did you watch The Row, Matt?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. No, I just pulled it up right here. Because it looks like it's on Stars. I don't get Stars.
Dang you, Stars.
Amazon wants me to get Stars, but Wow, yeah, like, I mean, this is just so it's like a sorority, I guess, right? Sorority.
Yeah,
row?
Sorority row. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Which is also a movie that's a remake. But it wasn't bad. It has Hoots from the Hills. I forget. Adrina Patridge. Which I I remember.
See, that's what makes me. I mean, I have no, you know, desire to be an actor, but that does kind of make me think maybe I could be an actor because if Adrina Patridge can can quote unquote act, then I suppose I could.
Because I remember her.
I'm probably a better actor than Adrina Patridge. I can say that.
Yeah, I think her she was in Into the Blue sequel, wasn't she?
Yeah, she went. I didn't see that yet. But
yeah, she is. It just, there she is. It's just, yeah.
Well, she's parlayed her fame into those two great movies. So we're going to roll into the theater. So we have Adrina Patridge in the theater, finally. But we should probably let you go. You can do I want to do some plug-os, Matt.
Yeah. Well, site, dtvconnoisseur.blogspot.com, that's where you can find everything, links to the novels, podcasts, all that. My podcast, DTV Yeah, DTVC podcast. That is on all your major podcatchers. There's a tie here. He does like a monthly stint when it started out as Bruce Willis movies. Now it's kind of just, you know, different
people. We just did Eric Roberts and Michael Madsen.
So, yeah, Michael Madsen's coming soon. We got, yeah. And then, Ty and Brett together have been on for some. We've done, I think, you know, Michael Dudikoff, Unsung Dudikoff, was one that we did. But a lot of times we do like kind of lists of movies and stuff like that. So you can find
back on your show, you and us.
Yeah, exactly. We can think of another list. We got to think of maybe a third Unsung Dolph, because people seem to like the Unsung Dolphs. Unsungerer, I guess. Because the second Unsung Dolph was Unsung Dolph 2 Unsungerer. Unsunger. So it would be Unsungerer. Would that be?
Yes.
As long as that doesn't confuse people too much, yeah, I think that can work.
Okay.
But well, we need to come up with a title for this, because, you know, all our...
Well, go to like part 10. 10 is never enough.
Because we give all of them like a sub, you know, like a subtitle. So I suppose this should have one too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe this on 10. Well, first of all, thanks for coming back on the show for this. Oh, hopefully you have ideas, Brett, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, there was everything I expected. And,
okay,
and
good. I thought, I wasn't sure. I just like,
I mean, you know, not all of them worked, but I mean, that's okay because you're throwing them at the wall. Like,
throw them at the wall and some of them stuck. You know, I think the Trump one, you know, refused to voting for him. That's
well. So,
thanks. Oh, and then we got, thanks again, Matt, for coming back on. Say that again. So, let's see, our plug goes. comeuppandreviews.net, which is the website. You can see all these great reviews. And Come Up and Reviews, the podcast, everywhere you get your podcasts. And Ty Action Rocks is the Instagram. Ty Come Up and is the Twitter X. And it's also, Come Up and Reviews is also on Facebook under the website name.
I think that covers everything. I mean, speaking of X, this could be No Subject X, because that's...
Oh, it sounds cool.
Oh, yeah. I like that. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Maybe we should just go with that. Keep it nice and simple. You know, no subject X.
Yeah. People know Roman numerals. Roman Reigns.
I think they do.
Roman Reigns.
It's Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns numerals.
It goes.
Wow. There's also Roman Reigns ice cream, which you can buy.
Yeah, and well, they had Selena Gomez ice cream, which I tried. It was at your local Walgreens, but then they discontinued it for some reason.
Is Roman Reigns ice cream still around?
Wait, is that the ice cream bar, or is that the wrestler?
I don't remember. It might have been more of an ice cream sandwich.
Oh, I think that's the right. You can still get your WWE ice cream sandwiches, Matt.
I was going to say, do you remember those WWF ice cream sandwiches that you get at on a stick, right? That you get them at from the ice cream truck.
Yeah, it kind of looks like John Cena, but it kind of looks like a melted John Cena.
Right. Oh, it says discontinued, maybe. I don't know. I had to search. I was like, yeah.
We can't love life anymore. I can't have my freaking Selena Gomez ice cream. It's just like...
I know. That's a real problem. I mean,
I know. I'm ending on a downer here. Well, hopefully it comes back soon. There we go.
They're bringing back Selena Gomez ice cream.
Oh, I'd be like going crazy, like flying over there, like when you hear a Taylor Swift song. Right. It's like, oh, she was back. Oh.
So you could like jump out of your house and like start parading down the middle of the street, like just chewing the sidewalk. You're in the middle of the street saying, yeah. They brought it back. They brought back the Selena Gomez ice cream. The people are like opening their windows.
There's that version, or the crazy version, where there's a bunch of people with nets after me.
it's like during the pandemic when people would like bang pots and pans for first responders. Yeah. It's like everybody's just outside like banging pots and pans for Selena Gomez's ice cream.
Yeah. It's not. We can still do that. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back today.
The thing is, this podcast hasn't been released yet. I'm sure that after this comes out and hits the internet airwaves, it'll make an impact. You know, Selena herself, I know, is a huge fan. She'll be listening. She can get, you know, her ice cream production back up and running. No problem. So hang in there.
I'm hanging in. I'm going to hang in. I'm going to hang on. So it's
like... And on that note, we'll all be hanging on and hanging in.
Yes. Hey, kind of like Winger. That's a Winger song. Keep hanging on.
It all comes back around and
hanging on. All right, so go ahead.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Ninja.
I love the idea of Michael Madsen talking on a Garfield phone as well.